This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Here's Matt. Guns it. Caught. Hurst. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown Calvin Ridley. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Football season is here, guys, and camps are underway in the NFL, including our Falcons. They'll hit the field tomorrow. Other teams did hit the field today, and we're going to talk about it. We'll also let you hear from Aaron Rodgers as he tries to put into perspective what happened these last few months, what was going on, and why he did what he did. But, Mike, before we get to that, of course, as always, the Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Yeah, man, don't forget Domino's, guys. Maybe you get it on the way home today and get out of the kitchen. Let them do it for you. You ask for car-side delivery. Your order will be out to your car within 2 minutes, or your next order is free. Large three toppings, $7.99 right now from Domino's.
2 minutes. All right, man, lots going on today in the world of sports. Obviously, the trade deadline is looming, and we will talk about the Braves coming up here in about 35 minutes as we go around the yard. Last night, a big win for the Braves. We talked to Nick Green earlier today. He said, bullpen arm and a bat. If you can do that, let's do it. Maybe two bullpen arms and a bat.
Right.
But for Mike and I especially last night, let's add to what we have. Let's not subtract. For everybody who says, hey, you know what, we need to move on from Charlie Morton. Let's see what we can get. You still will need to replace those arms. And I don't think it makes sense for a guy who's a double-digit winning pitcher for you. He's about to be. I think he's got 9 now after last night, maybe 10. The point is he's been one of your best pitchers and one of the best in the major leagues. If you move on from him, you still need to replace that arm. I think, Mike, we try to convince him, hey, it's a place to be. We're going to be healthier next year. Let's see where this thing goes this year, but we'd love to have you back. And Smiley, guys, for all the conversation about what he wasn't at the beginning of the season, and he wasn't good,
right?
He's been really good here the last month and a half.
Right, so I'd like to hold on. Again, he's here because he's under contract, and one guy even suggested on Twitter to us today, well, couldn't you trade Morton and bring him back? Well, you'd have that conversation. I mean, yeah, you'll go get him. I mean, it wouldn't be like it's happened before. It's not like it's unprecedented, but I still want Morton around. I want to see this team compete. And hey, stranger things can happen. Teams might not, right now, we're 6.5 out in the wild card, which, you know, it's not insurmountable, but the impression has always been you got to win the East. That's the only one team coming. We'll talk more about it coming up, guys, at 5:40 as we go around the yard. All right, Carl, saw this story, but at the same time. You did last night. And even though Julio is now a Tennessee Titan,
why you got to bring up the J word?
He is still part of the Falcons conversation. And by God, I'm going to talk about this. Julio and Roddy White being sued by a cannabis company for alleged fraud and money laundering. Apparently, a company called Genetics filed a lawsuit in L.A., a Superior Court, that names Julio and Roddy White and White's company, SLW Holdings. Breaking Bad, SLW Holdings. In a nutshell, if you hadn't already seen the article, Carl, there's a company that has a group of guys running it. Julio and Roddy allegedly took on with one side of this group, who eventually took over the cannabis growing operation and squatted on this large marijuana field, and then eventually cultivated the weed, took it off the premises, and then left. And the other party is without its product. Now, it sounds like a drug deal gone horribly wrong. The business says it intended to take part in a legal operation following the guidelines in California. At the end of the day, Carl, you and I said, as the people who used to be very uptight about weed, all that's kind of gone out the window. It's legal in so many states.
Don't smoke weed!
It's a civil suit. There's nothing to do with any criminality here, but would this ever get on the radar of the NFL?
I don't think so. Let me ask you this, though. Does this mean that Roddy and Julio are holding?
I wouldn't say they got like a Nate Newton-sized stash in their van, but I mean, okay. It does beg the question, if you're looking for mood management, and again, you know where we fall on this, I'd rather see guys fire up than deal with opioids, as Bobby Abar was talking about with us, but it doesn't really say what they're doing other than they contributed money to this. So again, I just think Julio simply was diversifying his portfolio, as was Roddy White, and where's the harm there?
No, I mean, the funny thing is, to your point about the story, the way it reads at least, is they basically went and got the product left, which basically means we're going to get our investment back.
But it's not like Julio and Roddy are out there with duffel bags. I mean, they facilitated.
Well, do we know that for sure? I mean, I know how hardcore Roddy is. Roddy might have showed up and been like, yo, I want all of that, and it needs to be in this bag right now.
So, Jess, are you telling me that Julio and Roddy roll up like Tony Montana and his cousin Angel Hernandez to make a deal with the Colombians?
Shades on, you know, two big duffel bags. You just never know. But no, man, I don't think the NFL. Here's the deal. First, it's legal what they were doing in California. Bad business deals happen all the time. And as much as Mike and I are going to make fun of this because it's Julio and now he's not a part of the Falcons. And, you know, now you read the headlines, Titans wide receiver. I'm like, whoo, thank God.
All that Falcons. About Soroka.
Well, see, and that's what happens.
Well, John's got the glaucoma's real bad. He's got to fight that with some smoke.
But the NFL's not. Mike, I don't think it's going to be an issue at all.
It is. Now, again, it's a civil suit, basically partners. And here's the other thing. Some of this stuff, there are regulations, but some of it is still the wild, wild west. You know, in some states, Carl, if you have a dispensary, you can't put the cash anywhere. You can't put it in a bank because it's not legal technically in the eye. And some of those. So you've heard about like these vaults where cash is deposited with armed guards, you know, tunnels and holes being dug where these guys are hanging around with AK-47s and stuff, like riding shotgun. I don't know if all that's about this, but either way, Julio and Roddy will lawyer up and we'll see where this goes. But hey, man, it is kind of a funny story when you at first blush when you saw it.
It's Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report. Let's hear from the guy that everybody wanted to hear from today, and then we're going to let you hear some of our Falcons. Tomorrow they hit the field for the first time. That guy, of course, is Aaron Rodgers. Here's what he said about what happened these last few months. Now, I will say this again. Mike mentioned it earlier. He was at the podium today, didn't run from any questions, didn't dodge anything. Matter of fact, some people are saying he said too much. Because he put management on blast and basically said, listen, this is when this started, and kind of explained everything from his point of view. Here's a little bit of that.
I think, you know, there was a lot of things that transpired. This wasn't, you know, a draft day thing, you know. This was started with a conversation in February at the season ended. And I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job. I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room. High character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones.
Now, you and I were talking about it earlier. I mean, Julius Peppers had the most production of anybody who left. Woodson had a couple years with the Raiders after that, but wasn't the same player. But Peppers was a guy who went on and had 11 sacks that next year for Carolina. Some people are also saying, like, Jordy Nelson was done. He had, like, a combined 1,100 yards his last two seasons in the league with the Raiders. But is Aaron overstepping? You and I said when a guy is 20%, I looked it up, he's 19.8%, Carl, of the Green Bay salary cap. Shouldn't your franchise player, your top three quarterback in the league, have at least some input or at least listen to him in your personnel department? Or do you hear that and say he's talking about washed-up players? Why should they stick around?
I think he's using those guys as an example. When you go to management, right, and you go, here's my issue, and they go, what are you talking about? Give us an example.
Right.
Here's an example. So I think he was just explaining that in the way that maybe he explained it to management, the front office and Gutekunst, the GM there, and everybody else. But more than anything, Aaron's just saying, I want to be heard. If you heard him in the first part of that soundbite, he said, how this plays into my job, right? That's what he's talking about. Some of these players you let go not only hurt the team, even though some of us were watched up, to Mike's point. The point was we didn't even talk about this. Like, you're making these moves. This affects my job. This affects us, whether we are going to be champions or not. And then the Jordan Love move, that's a whole nother discussion. So more than anything, Aaron just wanted to be heard. He wants to be a part of the conversation. It doesn't mean that Green Bay has given him full autonomy to make all the decisions. Oh, Aaron Rodgers is now the general manager. No, he's not. He wanted security, and the only way he was going to be able to do that over the next couple of years, because he really didn't have any guaranteed money after this season, is to do what he did. So now the contract has been shored up that, hey, we both agree if I don't want to be here and you don't want me, we can move on and everything's cool and I get to play where I want. But more than anything, Mike, he just wanted to be heard.
Right. And I honestly, well, you and I have gone round and round when Russell Wilson first made some comments about what was going on in Seattle, and then his agent kind of got a little too far ahead of that conversation. But I just think the same thing goes here for Matt. You know, I mean, you would think a guy, when the investment is so, you know, let's be honest, I mean, it's monumental that you've got in this guy. Whether you think he's the star quarterback or not, he should have at least some input. Matt, what do you think about this? Well, you know, guys, what I really need is for you guys to get some linemen to keep me freaking upright. You know what I mean? Things like that. I don't think it's giving, you know, the player too much power. I just think it's a logical conversation to have. Or at least listen to the guy. And in the case of the Packers, they apparently gave him such a cold shoulder that he turned it into this entire offseason hissy fit.
He did. So, again, lots more of Aaron Rodgers stuff you'll be seeing here and what he had to say today. Let's turn the page and talk about our Falcons, because one of the guys that we are going to be introducing ourselves to, we introduced him to you guys, Eric Harris. We picked him up. He was with the Raiders. Our secondary is going to look completely different, obviously. We drafted Richie Grant. But Harris is one of the leaders with his experience in the league, and he talked about it.
Just bringing leadership and my character within the locker room, you know, on the field, communicating, making sure everybody, you know, is getting aligned and, you know, just having fun, man, bringing the energy here, accountability here, and, you know, just from OTAs, just looking in back when we were here, it was just it's a different feeling, so it's cool.
Remember we had Eric Harris on the show and he talked about his working and working his way to the Canadian Football League and then eventually getting to the NFL. It's a cool story. He's, you know, by any stretch, Carl, you wouldn't consider him an elite corner, but he's a guy, all those things are safety, I should say, but he's bringing some leadership and, you know, it's a turnover. No more Ricardo Allen, no more Keanu Neal. And as we said earlier in the show, other than A.J. Terrell, there's not a lot out there in that secondary.
Yeah, I mean, the secondary for us was becoming expensive, right? If you were going to classify Keanu Neal, which he did not get classified when he went to Cowboys, he got paid like a linebacker, by the way, not a starting safety in the league. So you didn't want to pay him. Ricardo, we know it was a salary cap move as well. So you're trying to fill the void. But if we can get quality play out of these guys and – A.J. Terrell and Richie Grant turn into the players we think they can be, the secondary can be fine, Mike, because, again, you're going to be shuffling guys around. Isaiah Oliver, you said it earlier, right? Nickel guy? I mean,
right. He gets coached up. Maybe, you know,
that's right.
They had to hide Isaiah Oliver too many times in our defense. Let's be honest, guys. Let's call it what it is. Dimitroff missed on him. They said they couldn't believe the athleticism, the long arms, all the range they talked about Isaiah Oliver. Well, it's never translated to consistent success. But the Falcons just hasn't. But I will say this. You look at the tape of Richie Grant, you look how they use him all over the field, and you throw in a guy like Coach Pease, they're going to get something out of this guy. And plus, he's 23. He's older. I mean, I'm not saying that matters, but I think he's rare to go. I think there's some maturity and a lot of experience in some big games. Yeah, they played big games down there in UCF in his time.
I agree, are you man. 100 right now? Really? You can go there? He wasn't. He wasn't 100.
Now, again, if these guys struggle, we'll have them on the show so Carl can insult them and run them out of town.
I can't believe it. See, that shows you how soft we are, right? I asked the guy a tough question. Bro, you're not making the plays you seem like you used to be able to make.
I think you blindside. Now, again, that was why I'm in studio, because
Mike,
my microphone cut out.
How do you blindside somebody when they come on and do an interview?
I'm kidding you.
I just think, because I'm going to say, no, when you come on and agree to come do an interview, there is no blindside.
No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't ask him about his mama.
No, but you went right. Now, normally we have a little bit of BS before we get into the tough question.
You went in a normal mood that day.
You went right Mike Wallace 60 minutes straight at him, man.
Well, here's the deal. Everybody was wondering the same thing, right? It's funny. When I asked that question, and this is going back months now, everybody was like, man, Keanu looks like his old self. He's making plays. And then the week before, he got juked out of his shoes.
Literally out of his shoes. You're no
kick
in the flat.
And then it was like, all right, so if he was playing that well, then why didn't we keep him?
Dang.
Just asking.
Now we'll see.
Just asking.
But now we're looking forward to interviewing an entire new generation of Falcon players and alienating them as well.
Yeah, man. Guys are tripping out. Man, I can't believe you came hard at him like that. Really? What is this, the Muppets?
Yeah, the world has gone soft on us, Carl. The world has gone soft.
Speaking of that, Mike, how much, coming up, how much of this delay for these Olympic athletes played a role in what we're seeing? We're going to get into that next on Dukes and Bell.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, it was one thing that she decided to step away because of mental health reasons to not participate in the team activities with gymnastics. Now Simone Biles is not participating in the individuals. And Mike, I want to ask a question, and not based on anything about our opinions about this situation. Just generally speaking, do you think the grueling wait for the Olympics had a role and plays a role in what we're seeing with some of these Olympians? Mm-hmm. This was all supposed to happen last year, guys. 2020 right. was a wreck. You know it. And so everything got pushed back. And instead of just saying, we're not going to have these Olympics because the stadiums were built and everything was already in play, they pushed forward. They pushed forward so much that Tokyo's in shutdown. You guys have seen no fans in the stands there. The athletes are reluctant to be out and about because, again, the restrictions that are in place, mask up, all the things that we've dealt with, but they're dealing with it in what's supposed to be, Mike, one of the glorious points in their lives. They've trained all their lives for these moments, and now we're seeing these kind of things happen. I'm just curious, do you think that played a role and has played a role in some of the things that we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, for what I'm reading and, you know, the parts I'm watching that I can follow along, as we said, the coverage kind of jumps around from time to time, is, you know, everybody's got their athletes that are supposed to be really good at their sports, and a lot of folks, you know, from other countries are also struggling the same. It's not just something that U.S. athletes are dealing with, that other countries are having some of the same situation playing again. You know, we've talked about it. It's so difficult to get in the conversation about the handling the pressure now because it's all under the umbrella of mental health, and you don't want to sound like you're being mean-spirited when you say you can't handle the pressure. But it is – there's got to be something about the body clock and how you worked and got back into this and with COVID. So at the end of the day, though, Carl, every other athlete competing in every other sport is also dealing with the same circumstances. And how do you deal with that?
I agree. Mike, what makes – the special ones, the special ones. What makes the DNA makeup of the elite champions in any sport, guys, that allows them to do what they do? You know, I mean, you can compare, not sports per se, but you can compare the work ethic and the things that go into becoming right. a champion and then how you handle these moments. I mean, I don't know how Tom Brady has done this. I don't. I mean, I know he trains. I've seen it myself. I know he right. takes like a week off, and then it's back to business. And now we know more than ever about his body and then what he's eating. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those moments. How did Michael do it? How did Kobe do it? You know, when you start going down the list of guys and you say in these big pressure moments, how did Mariano Rivera do it? How did he go out there every time his team needed him to finish and close a game? No problem. And I only bring that up to say – that is how I look at sports. I'm not picking on Simone Biles. I'm not pointing my finger at her and saying, oh, shame on her, because that would be silly. But in the world of sports, why we love it is because of those moments. Why we fall in love with individuals and athletes in their particular sports is because of those moments. And you go, man, I don't know if anybody could have done that.
Right. I mean, it's something, and I don't think it becomes anachronistic. I don't think it's something that now, oh, no, that doesn't apply anymore. Of course it still applies. I mean, I don't, I'm not going to go on a rant and rave on this one, but I cannot accept this argument that, well, it's really hard, so it's okay to tap out. Well, there's a lot of things in life that are hard. These guys are the best of the best of the best, sir. You know, we know how you got there. Simone Biles has dealt with adversity. We already talked about her. Now she's going to not participate in the individual competition. But it's so counterintuitive because for years we talked about yesterday, Greg Louganis, and again, Carrie Strug, different set of circumstances, but she was able, she said, look, I'm going to go for it. And she did it. And Americans love that. And by the way, I saw one person I was discussing this with on Twitter said, yeah. you know, now Simone Biles, she's getting hatred and all this nastiness spewed at her. I go, but she's America's sweetheart. I've got people coming to her side saying you can't even say anything about her right now. I mean, Simone Biles, because she's been so good and so clutch, she gets endorsements. She gets marketing dollars because she has been so successful, because she has been able to channel all of that energy into handling those big moments. So it just runs so counterintuitive, again, I use that phrase, to what we're expecting. Because Olympic athletes in these moments, it is the ultimate pressure cooker, Carl. You know, I think about 100 meters. Train your whole life for that moment, you know? Boom. And it's over in 10 seconds. How do you handle it? How do you, so it just it is always been. And why do you think NBC spends the money? Because of the soap opera and the drama that plays out. But we got a soap opera of a different kind this year.
Yeah, we really do. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can chime in as always, guys. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Find us on social media as well. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and find us on the Instagram as well. It's all about the gram.
We're everywhere, man.
And Twitch. Yeah. I was going to say 929 The Game. Follow our station to stay up with what's going on. But, yeah, this is different. This is something that will be talked about for a long time, and I'm sure she'll be doing tons of interviews about it because, again, the biggest star at the Olympics.
Right.
Four-time Olympic gold medalist, okay, is the topic of conversation. And we're not talking about her winning another gold. We're talking about why she's not competing. I had a gentleman say to me earlier today, and we get all these texts and tweets and stuff, and I don't want to, you know, misspeak and out of turn with someone. I think it was Alan maybe, but we were going back and forth, and he was saying she didn't leave, Duke. She cheered her team on. Guys, she could have did that at home. You know, she could have did that.
I mean,
at home.
I just think, you know, building up to it, you've been better off of just said, look, whether you want to talk about COVID or anything else about the circumstances. And some, again, I did not watch the U.S. qualifying. Some people felt that she was not on her game in that. And that may have been a sign. I don't know because I didn't watch it. I'm just going by what people who watch gymnastics are telling me. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just, I look, if it's a mental health thing and you're saying, look, I'm overwhelmed by this moment, okay, we're not used to that in Olympic sports. We're not used to that in this stage. Okay, I'll pivot. I'm not going to criticize if that's legitimate, but I also think sometimes for some athletes, and now are we going to see another more guys in other sports are going to start opting or tapping out of some of these situations because the pressure is too great? To me then sports isn't worth watching. You know, because there is the legitimate mental health issue, and then there's also some guys, and let's be honest, Carl, we know this. People are going to use this as a cop out. So I don't know where you draw the line, because that's another conversation to have. But I just think we're so used to seeing the people deal with these pressure situations, and that's why America loves a winner, because Americans love a guy or a girl who's going to overcome that, battle through it. That's why they love Simone Biles. That's why you think there's everything with Simone Biles leading up to this. Every commercial you watched, every promo you watched was Simone Biles, because she has done that in every other situation before this.
Your thoughts are welcome, guys. I do think it's been a very tough year for you to train. Think about 2019, where everything was normal, and you're training like crazy, and you think, oh, Tokyo, and then the pandemic happens, and then everything gets pushed, and you still have to train. You still have to get mentally locked in. I think there's a countdown, you know, just like to football with the season, where guys go, all right, I know I got, you know, 2 months, I got to 2 weeks, and you're mentally in that space.
Right.
And then now you get there. And whether it was her trying to perform a new, you know, move that maybe she had practiced that she didn't feel comfortable with, maybe it was her feeling like she might hurt herself. Either way, as I said earlier today, I feel like all of that was already in her head. It's sort of like you waking up and going, I'm not going to work today, and you know why, and so you call in. But you knew that way ahead of time before you called in. And I think all of this was working. And so when we get in these moments, it's one of those things where you go, she didn't feel this way earlier. She didn't know that this was going to affect her. And maybe it didn't. Maybe, Mike, she got in the moment and boom, it happened.
And the other thing is, let's cut the hyperbole out. Yes, I know there are inherent risks in gymnastics. There are inherent risks in any sport where you're above the ground. But, I mean, this whole thing that she would have died. You know, she could have killed herself. I mean, yes, I understand. I get people citing these people that have had paralysis over this. Well, then maybe we should ban gymnastics if it's so gosh darn dangerous. Okay? So stop with the hyperbole on that. She's mastered this sport. When you do what she did the way she did it and tapped out, it freaked everybody out. We hadn't seen this before, okay? So now everyone can huddle and we want to make excuses or this and that. I'm not buying it. At the end of the day, dilute it down to however you want to. It still is quitting, period.
On our team. The individuals.
Yes.
Yeah, individual stuff. I said, I don't care because that only affects her. The team relied on
her. She wasn't there to be a cheerleader, Carl. She was there to win a gold medal.
Correct. The team relied on her. All right, guys, more to get to here on Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk about the Braves. We'll go around the yard. We'll preview tonight's matchup. If you think that the Saints are going to be all that, You're going to want to stick around because Bobby Hebert has a completely different picture he has painted for us
and it's
today.
It's glorious for Falcon fans, isn't it, Carl?
It is.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Oh, let's talk about what happened last night before we move forward. Because last night, Mike, there was an explosion of offense
Can't bank those runs, man. That's a problem. You can't just, okay, now that we've got to one more than you, can I bank five? No, that's not the way it works. But Austin Riley, man, the big grand salami and another home run, six RBIs. And, man, as you said, if he gets hot with what Freddie is doing right now, Freddie's now like top 15 and top 20 in every big, you know, number. This is good. This is good. This is still a team, which I know the naysayers say, no, Carl, but with the right tweaks could maybe still win this division. It's a very winnable division.
It is. We're four out as we go into tonight's game. We could win tonight and tomorrow, guys, and all of a sudden you're two out. I mean, this is what we've been talking about. And four out is not unsurmountable. I mean, that's the thing, to Mike's point. Let's hear from Austin Riley. Mike, here's what he said about working on his bat. Specifically, I think he's been working on things that have allowed him to have good at bats. This is something that's not taken for granted by great hitters in Major League Baseball. And you know, Mike always talks about the plan. Do you have a plan? Well, you got to go up there, and you got to also know what's working for you. Here's Austin Riley.
You know, I feel good. You know, been working really hard. I felt like kind of there for a minute. My stride was getting a little long. So you know, just tried to shorten it up. Guys were coming in on me with fastballs, sinkers. I was getting beat.
It's just little things. And you know, you got the eyes of Chipper Jones. You got great hitters like Freddie in the clubhouse there. You got your hitting coach. There are guys, and they're watching tape all the time. There are things that just little things that make a difference. And hopefully, you know, Austin Riley gets going. I think Nick Green said we still have to be patient with him, Mike. He said, listen, you know, he's still literally learning, and we keep thinking that this is going to be an explosion of things to happen for Austin Riley. Maybe Nick Green's right. We just got to stay patient with him.
Right. And a conversation with our friend Kelly Kroll on Bally Sports, talking to Austin Riley, who's batting .288. Again, six RBIs. You know, this is the kind of thing where, you know, Ozzy Albies is doing, and he kind of cooled off. I think he's another guy, Carl, could need to trend upward again. But you're going to see Jock Peterson back in the lineup tonight. I just saw that as a Dave O'Brien from the Athletic Post in the lineup. But, man, you got Morton. Don't want to lose him. You know, we talked about Smiley. I don't want to give up any assets right now, but I want to accumulate a pitcher. One guy just hit us up, Carl, on Twitter and said, you know, let's not dance around it. Will Smith is still a guy that's more of a setup man. He had one really good year as a closer. He says, why don't the Braves go get Kimbrel in the Cubs fire sale? I mean, but you and I, just real quick, not to be, you know, Billy Buzzkill here, there's $16 million prorated this year, but then next year you're on the hook for another $16 million for Kimbrel. I just can't see Liberty Media allowing Alex to pull that off.
I think it's cheap, to be honest.
I mean, it's nothing by the top 15 standards, but most teams in the top 50, but we operate under a different kind of management scheme.
I just think when you're talking about elite closers, that's cheap. I mean, the deal with Kimbrel is, remember, he took a step back and everybody kind of wondered if he had lost it. They rolled the dice and signed him, and now you're talking about $16 million for a guy that's one of the best closers in the league this year and probably guaranteed to give you 35 or more next season. if he stays, you know,
right,
as healthy as he's been.
And again, the Cubs, but and you'd have one more year of him at age 34. The Cubs Correct. Are going to want your big prospects, though, for a guy like Kimbrel.
So, but this is a move that helps you for not only now, it helps you for next year. I brought this up earlier in the week, and I love this idea. The problem is there are other teams that are interested, including the crosstown rival White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Red Sox are interested. Some of these teams are front runners in, you know, in their divisions, and they're trying to shore up their bullpens to make sure, hey, when we get to the playoffs, we're going to be fine. That's part of the issue. People have asked me today about Max Scherzer. We're not trading for Max Scherzer. The money is just that is too much.
Right.
And so, number one, we don't need starting pitching. And I know it's you may look at this and go, I don't understand that. Our starting pitching has not been the issue. Even the guys that have stepped in for the guys that have been injured have done a really good job. Tuki Toussaint, Muller, you know, all these guys have done a really good job. And some of these guys are coming back that we've been talking about. You know, Mike, and some right. of these other pieces. Starting pitching is not the issue. And just to put a bow on that, Charlie Morton, for all the things that I was worried about and, you know, concerned about going into the season mm-hmm. because of his age, and rightfully so. But Charlie Morton, when you look at how good he's been, he's given up 3 or fewer runs in 13 of his last 15 starts. That's big time.
Right. And Charlie Morton, again, guys, 10-3. We said this going into last night's start. If you take away the blown saves and some of the silliness that Snicker pulled in some of those games, you could very easily have 12 or 13 wins right now and be in the Cy Young competition. Seriously. Conversation, I should say. So, I mean, I want Charlie Morton back. Now, can we convince him to come back? Well, you got to spend a little money to do that, but you need more guys to eat innings. Why did we come up short last year? I've told the story 15,000 times because we didn't have that other arm. We were waiting on that Cole Hamels thing that never happened. We needed a guy like Morton. Morton was on the Rays. We would have played him last year in the World Series, but I'd like to keep, you know, Morton and Smiley. We got under contract. So I don't want to give up any of those guys. A lot of people still want to see us, you know, burn these older pitchers and go get some prospects.
By the way, I do want to mention while we're talking about all these guys, Chris Bryant has not been moved yet. We expect he will be by the trade deadline on Friday. Sterling Marte is a guy that we've talked about. I know John Chucker was high on him. He was the Marlins center fielder.
It was a good fit for us at the top of the lineup, right?
Yeah, basically had been told, you know, he wasn't going to be back with the Marlins, but there's no guarantee he's going to be back wherever he ends up. There were teams that were interested, but we were not one of them. I didn't expect us to go get Sterling Marte, but he gets moved today is the point. Trevor Story is another guy that's out there. You start looking at what fits, and there are probably about 3 relievers that I'd love to get my hands on out of the bullpen. It's just a matter of if AA is going to be able to pull the trigger. We're going to see, guys. Let's talk about tonight's game, Mike. Max Fried on the hill as we take on the Mets. 7-6, 4.57 ERA. Let's hope we get another good start from Max Fried tonight. Mets have been good at home, though, man. I mean, even though we won last night, when you look at their overall record, probably why, Mike, they've been in the top of this division, 31-17 at home
right.
in games in 2020. But when you talk about collective hitting, they're probably hitting better at home than they are on the road. And the guy that's doing that is Pete Alonso. He's been a big part of that, man.
Right, man. But they could use Chris Bryant like we could use Chris Bryant. That's,
yes.
I mean, I still think they're going to get in that bidding war for him. But, yeah, man, it's Tyler McGill going for the Mets tonight.
McGill,
the Clan McGill.
McGill.
He's been really good of late. So
yes,
Max is going to have his A game. And by the way, all right, buddy boy, how many times have we had this conversation? We're one game under 500. So can we get to the magic elusive 500 plateau?
We have to, right? I mean, at some point it's got to happen. I've been saying we're stuck in this mediocrity, but at some point it's got to happen, doesn't it?
Well, we did break the win-lose thing. We actually win-win the last two. So, if I had told you guys, even after we lost to the Rays, and I've still felt we could have taken 4 out of 6 of those first two against the Padres as well. But, Carl, if I had told you at All-Star break, hey, we're going to go up to New York, and I told you we'll take 4 out of 5 from the Mets, you'd want us to be buying stuff, not moving guys off
That's
the roster.
Right.
I don't know. I mean,
well, I'm not talking to you, idiot. I'm talking to listeners.
Yes, we're buying. If that was to happen, which it could happen here over the next couple of games, absolutely, man. I mean, again, my theory on the whole move, the Charlie Morton folks, whoever you are, think big picture. We're so caught up in this, you know, blinders on.
Right.
You have to replace those arms.
We'll be at spring training next year wondering about Mike Soroka. You know, we'll get Anderson back this year, but there's still – you cannot have enough pitching. We got – again, last year was the cautionary tale. I don't care if it's a 60 or 162-game season. But, I mean, this is a guy I want in Northport next year, right, to start the year.
Yeah, I just don't think people are thinking about – the people that want to move on from either Smiley or Morton and, you know, let's go get this and that and the other – you don't give up starting quality starting pitching, especially once it starts to gel for you. So, you know, the only concern, again, for Morton, but it's been a concern, is his age. It's been a concern. Hey, like he keeps balling out.
But as Nick Green said, everybody in this team only pitches six innings anyway, so at least, you know, he's going to give you one or two runs of six, you know, solid six innings. Yeah. And there's some nights when he's dealing where the guy's he's unhittable. He's still on pace for over 200 strikeouts at this stage of his career, which I think is pretty amazing.
Freddie's got 23 dingers, guys. Now, after last night, Austin Riley's got 19. That's a career high for him. Let's hope those guys stay hot in the lineup tonight. All right, coming up, we've got the top three at 6 and a conversation you don't want to miss in regards to this division. Falcons, Saints, Tampa, Carolina. Oh, we found out some things today about those stinking Saints. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.